Hello and welcome to Rule of Carnage. This is a place, a channel, a recording where myself, Glenn Ford, a games developer and designer, talks to this guy, Mike Hutchinson, also a games designer and developer, about designing better miniatures games. Now, between us, me and Mike have worked on, designed a lot of what are commonly referred to as miniatures agnostic games. And for various reasons over the past like few weeks or so, I've been in a lot of conversations with people where increasingly I've come to realize I don't really think I know what miniatures agnostic means. Not really, not in a way that I'm happy with.
Is it like when you hear one of those words so many times you forget how to spell it because it's like, what?
The word has gone strange on me.
Yeah.
It's a bit of that. And also, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I feel like maybe I think it's a bit of a negative term, or a term that, that refers to something negative about something it's not. I don't like that as being a way that, that things I'm involved with choose to define themselves. I don't like the idea of sort of negative advertising. I worry that to a degree, what Miniatures Agnostic is saying is sort of, well, you see those guys over there, you don't like them, do you? We're not them.
Yes. So I hear the phrase miniature agnostic as miniature permissive. And to a degree, it is because of like the Games Workshop thing, where you are increasingly, as any miniature producer gets more complex, they're trying to, you know, align the miniature collections with the rules, and then maybe some sort of tendrils that maybe didn't get miniatures in fifth edition sort of die out because there was no point to them because they don't drive miniature sales anymore. And so, yeah, I do get that point where it's like miniature agnostic means I don't have something to sell you. But the funny thing is that the last time I heard that phrase was 2 days ago when I was listening to a podcast whilst I was painting. And it was, I apologize, I forget the chap's name who runs 7TV, who runs... What's the name of that company that does
Well, isn't that Crooked Dice?
Crooked Dice, yeah. So he was like, so 7TV is miniature agnostic. By the way, we have 1,300 miniatures in our line, but you don't have to use them. You can use whatever you want. So if you've got peasants with burning pitchforks, then you don't have to buy our new peasants with burning pitchforks to play 7TV Dracula. You can use whatever you like. We're totally agnostic about what models you use. And I think to me, miniature permissive, like it also needs to come with miniature not irritating about your hobby, which is like a lot of it. When I write miniature agnostic games, it has to be base size agnostic, and if it's not base size agnostic, I don't think it's really miniature agnostic. I think you've missed maybe one of the fundamentals of that term, which is just bring the stuff that you have in your case that's already lying about. Don't force me to rebase for this game. And so that's sort of like not about whether or not you're a commercial operation that's trying to make sure that you strong arm me into buying your miniatures rather than another company's miniatures. That's about like the pure sportsmanship of saying, well, I could have designed a game that requires everything to be on 30 mil round bases, or I could just design a slightly different game that doesn't mean that the things that you've got on 32 rounds or 25 squares can't just, you know, slot into that game without being a pickle. Now, there's plenty of games that work very carefully around their base sizes, and you know, I'm maybe not cross about them, and maybe I like their miniatures aligned, so I'll buy into them. But for me, I don't really care for the name miniature agnostic specifically, but I translate it to miniature permissive.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, because it's like as I've been happening to have several conversations recently about this term, I was sort of thinking, well, what is non-miniatures agnostic? I'm genuinely trying to think of games that are genuinely not miniatures agnostic. And as far as I can come up with, there's really only two, and one of them only halfway. One of them being HeroClix. HeroClix is legitimately not miniatures agnostic. You actually need to use HeroClix miniatures because the information is literally stored within the bases of the miniatures.
Right, but that right. Because I was going to say X-Wing, and then I was going to be like, well, not X-Wing, because that's actually base.
Yeah,
it's miniature agnostic. It's not base agnostic.
Yeah, literally,
you can put anything on that base.
Yeah, literally, the second one I was going to say, and the one that is half maybe miniature,
right,
is X-Wing, because it's in actuality I can take all the miniatures of X-Wing and bin them, and I could stick like Babylon 5 minis on those spikes. It really doesn't make any difference. It's only the base, but the base is so sort of weird and manufactured and sort of specific to that game that you genuinely do need the bases, and then ideally you need the things that slot into the bases. And I kind of feel like, okay, well, those are the only things I can honestly think of that are genuinely not miniatures agnostic.
Right, yeah. And so
people aren't coming against those two guys. That's not who people are coming for when they use this term.
That's not. But you're making me wonder now. So, like, for something to be truly not miniatures agnostic, it would have to either have no bases, and I'm thinking of like tanks, the war game, or other things where if you swapped the miniature, it would be physically different in its footprint. Like, oddly, Gaslands isn't miniature agnostic. It really matters what your miniature is.
No,
but the other thing would be something with a true line of sight where the game is somewhat balanced because of the three-dimensional silhouette of the miniature, and you're expected to use the correct model because otherwise the game would be unfair. And I don't think at any point GW is really, GW, nor can I think of any other real game where that silhouette is game affecting.
There is one that I can think of technically, peripherally, and that's the very splendid necro molds. The thing that you make is out of plasticine, because when they die, you smush them with a ring and they form terrain, and the size of the piece of terrain they form is dependent upon the thing. So you couldn't play necro molds by taking the, I won't use the mold.
But it's not really miniature agnostic. It's molds non-agnostic.
Yeah, it's a weird one, but that is one where it's like, yeah, you genuinely couldn't use other things for it, but that's so sort of, on the periphery. Because, yeah, it's like, so generally I think what people sort of want to imply is something along the lines of, the person who wrote these rules has no particular financial incentive to use any particular source of minis.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a lot of the time what we mean by miniatures agnostic. But then, like you're saying with, 7TV. 7TV, I definitely feel like I want to say it's miniatures agnostic, but they put out 7TV Dracula at a point where they had some absolutely stunning Dracula sculpts available. And it's like, well, that wasn't throwing a dart at a dartboard. You know what I mean?
Well, but I think it's almost like a philosophical thing where if you buy a Warcry box, it comes with these cards and each card has a picture of the model on it. And it's not like any particular barbarian, it's that barbarian. And that barbarian gets these slight variations on the rules because he's got a sword and an axe, and this one's got an axe and a flail, and this one's got a flail and a shield. And obviously it doesn't really matter because you could map that in your brain, but the difference being like, the comic relief or the mad scientist in a 7TV game, like it's super transplantable onto any miniature that you can. It's very descriptive and forgiving in the way that you can transfer that to another model, whereas with a non-miniature agnostic game where it's trying to force you to put a particular model and a particular card together, it's too much brain ache to run the game with different models, because you have to keep reminding your friends which model is supposed to be which and which model's got the particular and I don't think that's about WYSIWYG particularly. Like, I don't think that's about modeling with the specific equipment options, because you can do that in a model agnostic game if the game has sort of evoked a, you really ought to put a shield on if you're going to take a shield save with it. But I think it's like, it's a philosophical point where it's like, I've given you these cards and I've given you these miniatures, and the experience is supposed to be complete with all of these elements contained. And if you want to experience the game as we God intended it, then that's what you're supposed to do, versus saying, well, we literally put in the book pictures of random miniatures from North Star and, Fantasy Flight and other kinds of stuff P.S. we can sell you these beautiful miniatures, but we don't even necessarily want to put them on the cards. We'd rather have an illustration or something.
So, I mean, I guess that, I mean, that's an interesting break point there, because in a way, what I think that miniatures, whatever you would call not miniatures agnostic, is often, I think, presented, as I say, is that
miniatures didactic,
possibly miniatures didactic games are possibly presented. I think it's most considered as a negative because there's an implication that somebody somewhere has written a rule to sell a certain miniature, that they're being driven in gameplay decisions by, you know, that whatever, you know, marketing or sculpting come in and go, all right, we've sculpted this thing and it's going to cost X amount of money. We're going to make X amount of profit on every unit we sell. So you've got to make sure that every single last person who buys its book buys a copy of that miniature.
Right. So maybe the hidden message that we're trying to get across with our miniatures agnostic terminology is game first rather than model sales first as our decision-making criteria.
Possibly, but I think
that's how it's read.
Possibly, but I think the interesting thing that you sort of touched on there is the idea that, well, the thing about non-miniatures agnostic games is that they're very generous to your opponent. Your opponent has a lot of triggers as to they know what your stuff is. You know, he knows what that guy's name is. He knows what he can do, etc., etc. Like, you know, if you're playing Malifaux with like weird miniatures, your opponent knows what your stuff can do, and you're giving them a lot of sort of quick information, and they don't have to hold it all in their head because they've pre-attached it to that miniature. If you play Malifaux with, I don't know, whatever, Games Workshop miniatures.
Yeah, with proxies and stand-ins.
Proxy it with everything. Then your opponent is going to have to have a genuine mental barrier to get past that and re-remember, oh, no, just a minute, that's Bete Noire. Oh, I totally forgot, you know, I've lost track of et cetera, et cetera. You know, so there is a thing of, are miniatures didactic games doing something actually lovely and generous and helping people to play, you know, against strangers, against people where they, you know, they don't have to stop every 5 minutes and go, sorry, what's that guy again? Who's he? You know.
Well, and it's definitely not, it's not an accident that miniatures agnostic tends towards generic class-based figures, whereas, you know, miniature didactic tends towards characters. Like, the reason it's confusing when you don't play like Sonya Creed with the Sonya Creed model is I know what Sonya Creed looks like. That's like turning up to a Marvel movie and like someone completely wrong is playing, you know, Iron Man, and you're like, what's going on? This isn't what I expect or understand. And so I think that like pushing in the direction of characters is cool and it's lovely and it's wonderful, and I like characterful models and I like characterful rules, but I think it's just a different philosophy of game design for that particular project, which is, well, I want to tie together the imagery of this character with the rules that it's going to have, rather than evoking a genre of a model or a sort of archetype of a character and saying, well, it's a, you know, interdimensional gunslinger, you know what I mean, and it can be all kinds of different things, versus it being, you know, very specifically, you know, Han Solo or something.
And I think it's interesting what you were saying before about the fact that Gaslands is very much not miniatures agnostic in a weird way. It really cares what size miniature you put on the table, but it's, you know, it feels like it's what we mean by a miniatures agnostic game, because now so one of the things I think is that miniatures agnostic games, possibly a more positive term, I don't know, whatever, is like, it's hobby miniatures driven kind of thing. It's this idea that like, well, if I've done a miniatures agnostic game, what I mean is I want you to go and hunt around in a shoebox of bits and find out things and go, that's the perfect head for him. And oh, there's his arms. Brilliant. Oh, I
don't know that a lot of people would instantly classify Warhammer 40,000 as a miniature agnostic game, but it's literally the best game in the world for kit bashing and inventing your own armies and coming up with a new faction that like you can then count as. Like,
I know. And this is why I find it such a weird term at this point.
That seems like a good place to take a quick break.
Just agnostic. And the idea that, I mean, as an anecdote, the idea that sort of GW is clearly like the one of the big bogeymen, I think, when people say miniature agnostic, not miniature agnostic. Well, they're
harking, right, something that they're bouncing off of.
They're harking back to this idea of codex creep and power creep, that, oh, obviously every new army in GW is more powerful than the last one because they need to sell the new miniatures line they've just put out there, and all that sort of baloney. And I distinctly remember going to a GW grand final tournament where there were three, basically 90% of people there had three lists, and it was Dark Elves, Undead, and Demons of Chaos. None of which were the last three codexes, you know, army lists that come out. They're all sort of older than the last few. I remember because I chose to take my Beastmen army because it was the last week it's going to be legal. It was one of my favorite ever armies. It was the last week during which it was going to be like tournament legal. I knew I was going to get pounded, but I was like, I want to give them a goodbye. And I tell you what, nobody thought that the Beastmen list that came out that week afterwards was all, you know, net codex.
Well, yeah, you got to have your Beastmen in your Tyranids, don't you?
It was an absolute bag of baloney. But the reason I bring it up is I walked into that hall, and on the first table, because Horrors of Tzeentch were like a core part of the demon list, the first table was somebody had taken a bunch of plastic ghouls and replaced their heads with like little eyeballs. And that was their Horrors. I was like, oh, it's a smart little conversion job. It's using plastic things. It's still GW miniatures. That's really clever. And then I walked on the hall, and the next table had a unit of Horrors with the exact same conversion job. And then two tables down had the exact same unit with the exact same conversion job. It's like, Jesus Christ, people are now netlisting their conversion jobs. You haven't just netlisted the list. You've netlisted the cheapest way of converting miniatures up to do WYSIWYG, that is tournament legal. And I was like, oh, my. And I was like, oh, that was the thing that really genuinely, I was like, I can't do tournaments anymore. That's too depressing.
See, it's funny that you bring up the tournaments, though, because I think that's another boogeyman, which is, since the beginning of being in the hobby, have been, you know, thoroughly delighted with discovering alternative miniatures and constructing weird armies from stuff that I find. It must have been some formative moment where I discovered some non-GW miniatures and was like, oh, some other things exist. But there's a sort of spectre. I've never played a tournament in a GW store. I've never been to Warhammer World and played Warhammer. But I know if I did, I wouldn't be allowed to use any of the armies that I've got, because they're all a mixture of figures from a mixture of manufacturers. And like, even though it doesn't matter because I've never done it and I probably never will, it's like a weird boogeyman where it's like the opposite of miniatures agnostic is being told you're not allowed to use part of your army because there's some rule. And even though, you know, I will never be affected by that rule, that rule still offends me because it cuts to the core of my hobby, and it sort of says, no, the thing that you like doing is invalid. And I'm like, well, no, it isn't, and damn you, and I shall write only miniature agnostic games until I die.
I know, and it's such a weird thing that like GW tournaments have had like rules about what is a legal conversion and what is a minimum paint job. Because just as another anecdote, so the rules in GW tournaments were that the model had to be at least 51% like a GW bought model. Okay. I went to a tournament and the guy had two steam tanks, both of which were essentially lumps of DAS modeling clay. They just go up to a base with like a couple of plastic wheels from like orc trucks just jammed into the side of them, and he had the altar, you know, the prayer altar thing, and that was a plastic war wagon with everything just ripped off of it, and a chaos warrior stood in the middle of the war wagon. And I was just like, these are all you've gone to the rules. You've gone, how can I loophole technically being a legal GW model. All right, okay, here's, I've weighed the DAS modeling clay. I've weighed the number of components I'm jamming into the DAS modeling clay.
I mean, that is the definition of a miniature agnostic player, though.
In a weird way, you know, this guy is an absolute ass, but you have to say, yeah, I mean, you are very miniatures agnostic. You clearly don't,
you don't give a hoot.
You don't give two dams about this hobby.
Anyway.
And that's the thing, and that's why I want to think more about sort of like, say, what I consider positive terms, you know, for what is meant by miniatures agnostic. And I think that a lot of time what we mean by miniatures agnostic is this is a game that wants me to engage with the hobby of modeling and not restrict me. And like I say, I don't like sort of having a go at GW for not being miniatures agnostic. You know, that's the company that ultimately got me to, you know, convert things and kit bash things and hack things heads off and green stuff them back together again. You know, I played at plenty of tournaments and plenty of stores, and I was never told off for my conversions and, you know, and kit bashing and things like that. And, you know, and I think it is like, I don't know what miniatures agnostic means when we use that term. And I would like to use terms that say more about what we're actually talking about rather than I'll tell you what my game isn't. It isn't that guy. It's like, stop doing that. Stop doing that. You're not attracting me. You know, it's like whenever you go on Kickstarter and someone's bought out a new TCG that lists various things that they think that you won't like about Magic the Gathering, despite Magic the Gathering being the most popular TCG in the entire world, they think that people are all up in arms hating on it. And it's like, Magic the Gathering are probably doing some things right. So if you just list a bunch of things they do and go, oh, I'm just not doing any of that, you're not going to get swathes of fans coming at you.
Really. I mean, for me, I think there's a couple of things that it is. And like Saga, for example, is a miniature agnostic game because it has very broad pigeonholes into which you can put a ton of different kinds of models and no one's going to be confused about what it is. So I went to GW this weekend and I bought a couple of boxes of really cool looking chaosy war cry miniatures because I was like, well, there's 8 in that box, so those can be my Hearthguard, and there's 12 in this box, so they can be my warriors, and that's going to be an amazing looking list, and one of these looks a bit like a wizard and one of them looks a bit like a hero. And so I looked at those models and I'm like, well, I don't happen to want to play war cry with them because I'm not attracted to that game, but something like a miniature agnostic or a permissive game like Saga offers me a very easy way to say, well, I don't need to worry about whether or not I'll find a use for these miniatures because I've got enough games like Saga where the footprint, the pigeonholes are broad enough that I know I'll be able to find a slot for these things, and nothing I buy and choose to paint is wasted because I can find an easy slot and no one's going to worry about what that slot is. And so when it comes to a game like 7TV, like I have a ton of pulp miniatures because I adore lumpy little pulp miniatures that are done in a sort of old-fashioned, super easy to paint style. But I don't necessarily have a game to play them. Download the beta of Perilous Tales if you want to have a game to play. But 7TV offers a way where just by picking up the deck of cards and dishing out a couple of the character cards, it can be like, yeah, I've got an ancient evil. Yeah, I've got some cultists. Yeah, I've got a boat driver. That's cool. And so I think for me, it's less about inspiring hobby and more about saying whatever I've got in my collection can be easily fit because the genre is sort of nicely broad and the pigeonholes are big enough to hold most anything I've got in my collection. So it's like collection airing or collection enabling.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not sure what other. I feel like there's more than one term that could be covered by what people have generically dumped into the bucket of miniatures agnostic.
Because the most obvious one is I'm not selling you miniatures. Don't try looking for miniatures. It's like a shorthand for I'm just selling you a rule book. 20 quid, we're done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. And if what miniatures agnostic means is everything other than hero clicks, I don't think that's a useful term. I don't think that's a helpful bucket. You know, I don't think that we're going to get very far by like defining, well, you know what my game isn't? It's not that one
Heroclix.
Quite niche game that you didn't think it was anyway, because you're not an idiot. So, you know, yeah, I would say just, you know, consider what you mean when you say miniatures agnostic, and maybe try sort of using some terms that are a bit more clear and clean and positive, I think, more than anything. It started bugging me that I worry that miniatures agnostic is a, I'll tell you.
It's reactionary rather than.
Yeah, they're not the in crowd. I'm the in crowd, and I'm going to use this term to put one more wedge into what is already a niche little group of people who should really be banding together rather than splitting off. Right. I think that's been a reasonable delve into my random personal bugbear for the week.
If it wasn't for you taking umbrage with certain terms, we'd barely have a podcast, Glenn.
For some reason, people talk to me and use.
Do these words even mean anything, people?
People, help us out. Come to me and use random jargon so that I can become enraged.
Comment below. The more incoherent, the more likely to inspire a podcast episode.
Absolutely. Yes, that's covered my unhappiness at the use of the term interest agnostic this week. If there is a sort of term, a phrase, a piece of jargon that you've come to a point where you don't even know what it means anymore, maybe you feel like you used to know what it meant and it's sort of got to a point where you feel like it's lost its place in the world.
I don't even know what I go, you go means anymore, Glenn.
It's literally exactly.
You always have a go and then I have a go. It just, how many
alternate,
goes?
But what it means is that we alternate when we activate, right?
No, it doesn't.
I go, then you go, and I go, and then you go. So lovely, alternating activation. That's its literal meaning. Lovely, clear, nice and concise. If you have a term,
on the other one of like terms not meaning anything, you always say to contact me on social media. I'm pretty sure I haven't checked my Twitter for a year now, so just don't bother contacting me on social media anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can contact me in the Discord because I genuinely go in there.
We have a Discord.
Yes, we have a Discord channel, which is a great place to drop into and say, you know, look, I don't know what miniatures agnostic means. I do know what miniatures agnostic means, and this is what it means for me, and this is what it should mean.
And we'll put it in Glenn's Dictionary of Wargaming.
Yep, and then we can make up a new term for what you meant to mean, and we can all be much clearer and happier in our lives.
Very good.
Hit the like and subscribe button, because we can only do it a limited number of times. But for this week, from Rule of Carnage, it's going to be a thank you and goodbye. So thank you and goodbye.
Cheers. Bye.